Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Couple Speak Relationship Forum on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Susan Lager, a psychotherapist and relationship coach at the Couple Center and Couple Speak in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where I broadcast live each month on Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Tonight's 30-minute episode, Are You a Shopaholic? Take the Test Before the Holidays, Get 7 Tips for Help, is a very timely one with the holidays right around the corner when major spending is normalized and pushed through ads everywhere. If you or anyone you know have wondered about whether you have a shopping problem, then this show is for you, and it's important that you listen to it now. I'll talk about the key warning signs of this problem, and you know, so you can take the test and see how you score. I'll also go into the effects that this problem has on people interpersonally, occupationally, and financially. And finally, I'll give you 7 tips for how to cope through the holidays and beyond. So stay tuned for this information-packed episode. Now, one technical point. If you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, just dial 1 on your phone and you'll be in line to join me on the air. And I think I'll just take questions as they come because I think I'll have enough time for questions in a more organic way. So to begin with, what does it mean to be a shopaholic? According to the American Psychiatric Association, compulsive buying disorder, or CBD, is characterized by an obsession with shopping and buying behavior that causes adverse consequences, not your normal shopping when it's just joyful and there's no after effect. Compulsive shopping and spending is described as a pattern of chronic, repetitive purchasing that becomes difficult to stop and ultimately results in harmful consequences. It's defined as an impulse control disorder and has features kind of similar to other addictive disorders, but it doesn't involve the use of intoxicating drugs. So don't be fooled. Just because you may not be taking cocaine or heroin doesn't mean you might not have a problem. So drugs are not the hallmark of this, obviously. There are many social and cultural factors that tend to increase the addictive potential of shopping and spending. The easy availability of credit and the material focus of society in general, like now during the holidays. It encourages people to accumulate possessions now and worry about financial responsibility later. Purchasing has been made easier with the availability of online shopping and television stations like QVC devoted to buying goods 24 hours a day. So I thought the timing for this episode would be very, very relevant given that Thanksgiving is next week and Christmas is next month. And I don't know where all my listeners are, but where I am in Maine and New Hampshire, we are already being bombarded with Christmas ads. And we were bombarded with the Christmas ads 3 weeks before Thanksgiving. So it's really everywhere. We're surrounded by influences and the kind of normalization, influences to spend and the normalization around spending. So what are the warning signs of compulsive shopping and spending? How do you know if you're in trouble with it when you don't just like to shop, but you may have a problem? I would encourage you to take this test. I'm sharing a test that I've culled from my research. And if you identify with 4 or more of the following behaviors, then I would say you may be a shopaholic. So be honest with yourself. Take the test. Check off whatever relates to you and see if 4 or more of them really stand out for you. I know as I took the test, I found maybe I'm a little borderline here. Am I a collector? Do I just love nice things? or might I have a problem? I decided that I'm sort of borderline, but, not really, because there's not a whole lot of distress around it and doesn't create, for me, a lot of after effects. Anyway, number one, if shopping or spending money is as a result of feeling disappointed, angry, or scared. In other words, do you shop and spend money to medicate feelings? Is that your kind of go-to coping mechanism? Not good if you do. Number two, if shopping or spending habits cause emotional distress in your life. In other words, if there's fallout around it, whether it's distress to other people or distress to yourself. So be honest with yourself. Is it really free, aside from what you spend for the goods, or is there a cost to it emotionally to you or other people in your life? Number three, having arguments with others about your shopping or your spending habits. So if it's causing conflict in some way, it's not such a benign activity. And I'm not saying causing conflict when you might have a controlling spouse or a controlling partner, but causing conflict with people in your life who are very concerned about this behavior. Number four, feeling lost without credit cards. So in other words, if you go out and you're shopping and you feel a sense of anxiety, and you feel really at a loss, if you don't have at least one or two credit cards in your wallet that would enable you to buy whatever you want or enable you to overspend, you may have a problem, because the credit cards are for most compulsive shoppers kind of the gateway, the permission, the mechanism through which you can go into denial. I put it on a card. What's the big deal? I don't feel the immediate effect. So if you notice yourself feeling kind of lost without them, that's a warning sign. Number five, buying items on credit that you wouldn't buy with cash. So obviously you need the cards with you, but if somehow you use credit as a way to legitimize expenditures that you may not be able to afford, that you might not give yourself permission to make if you didn't have the credit cards, then that might be an indication of a problem. It's a kind of permission giver again. And here's a key one: feeling a rush of euphoria and anxiety when spending money. So it's kind of a high you get. A kind of high from the spending, and oh, I got just the right thing, and it's this wonderful warm glow that you feel, akin to the high people get when they're on cocaine or they're doing heroin, but it's accompanied by anxiety, and that's key. It's not just this happy feeling that your average shopper may get, oh, good, I got that purse I wanted or the gift I wanted for somebody, but it's really a rush. It's an intense kind of high, and it's followed by anxiety. Feeling guilty, ashamed, embarrassed, or confused after shopping or spending money. So, in other words, what is the after effect for you? What's the residual afterward? And I think the shame is a hallmark of a shopping problem, when you're feeling like, oh, my God, what did I do again? What am I going to do about this? So it's a feeling of lowered self-esteem, self-loathing, a loss of self-trust, or confusion about, how did I do that? What happened to me? Often, I've heard people who have a shopping problem talk about feeling like, I really have no clue how I got all those things, what happened. And there's almost an experience, kind of confusion afterward, because they felt like maybe they were in a trance when it happened. And you are, if you have a shopping problem, you are in a kind of trance. You're operating from a kind of unconscious place or a compulsive place. Number eight, lying to others about your purchases, the purchases you made, or how much money you spent. So if you notice that you are getting into more deception and secrecy around your spending, that's a problem. I had a client a long time ago who would routinely buy things, and then she had this whole elaborate ritual around when she would arrive home so her husband wouldn't know what she had purchased. So there's the initial deception. And then she would bring it inside and hide it way, way back in the furthermost regions of her closet, which she knew that he would never go into, so that he couldn't find it. And, you know, it was sort of a turning point for her when she realized she was cleaning out her closet one day and she found things that she forgot she had because they were in the far recesses of her closet. They were so hidden. So if there's a lot of deception or any deception and secrecy around it, that is a key warning sign. Number 9, noticing yourself thinking excessively about money. So are you obsessing about money? Are you in an effort to kind of clean up the internal sense of mess or the mess that you've perceived yourself to have created? Up at night worrying about money, where am I going to get money to pay the mortgage or to pay the utility bills? What am I going to do to make room to accommodate or to compensate for the money that was spent? That's clearly a warning sign. And finally, number 11, if you shop to avoid responsibilities, fit an image, or to boost your self-esteem, you're in trouble. So let's say, I think everyone has done what we call retail therapy, and we say that kind of tongue-in-cheek in my industry. Noticing that you could easily shop to avoid some unsavory tasks. Like I know, for instance, that on days when I have to do book work, and one of my worst things is QuickBooks, I hate it like the plague. I know that if I allow myself to go out, shopping's kind of a happy thing for me. If I allow myself to go out first, I could easily just forget the whole day that was planned for QuickBooks or book work. But if you give yourself permission to shop instead of doing those things, which I'm really careful not to do, that's a problem. So you're avoiding other things. You're taking other things off the table and making shopping paramount. Now, the whole issue of shopping to fit an image, a lot of women, and women are, I don't know what the stats are on this, but in my experience in my field as a psychotherapist, it's more often women around smaller things like clothing, handbags, accessories, stuff for the house. For men, it's more often big ticket items like tractors, snowmobiles, boats. But if it's to fit an image, so that if by shopping you envision yourself kind of like a Martha Stewart, or it makes you feel like you achieve a certain amount of status, you feel like you're more fashionable somehow, or you will impress your friends if you have more tchotchkes around your house, or you have you shop compulsively, you're buying more and more clothing because you have to feel like you look a certain way, and you feel out of control around it, that's a problem. And to boost your self-esteem, that's very related to fitting an image. But if you're feeling badly about yourself, you're feeling low, and it's a way of making you feel pumped up or to feel more important. It's very related to fitting an image. That's definitely a problem. So again, if you saw yourself in 4 or more of these warning signs, then you need to be on high alert, especially before and during the holidays, and certainly afterward as well. I don't want you to come through the show thinking that it's just a problem, be on high alert before the holidays and during the holidays, but after the holidays, you have a whole different task about getting meaningful help. This show is really geared toward what could be the immediate strategies, some tips to help you, and immediate strategies to help you get through the holidays. It could apply at any time of year, but especially during the holidays. So afterward, you have another task, which is to deal with the underlying issues and get really get professional help. Now, I like to talk about what the effects are of compulsive shopping and spending. So if you think that it's aside from money spent, it's free, you know, it doesn't really have any effects. I'd like you to pay special attention to this segment. I would like you to notice which of these effects play out with you. And again, that's a warning sign if you notice this. So again, the shopping and one effect is that the shopping and spending activity itself is associated with a feeling of happiness and power. So there's a feeling of immediate gratification. The after effects of remorse and guilt generally drive the spender back to purchase again to be able to achieve that brief but very intense emotional high. So it's very much like people on heroin or cocaine. You need more and more of the drug to re-achieve the high that you get. It takes more and more and more. It's very brief. And they know through brain studies that there are changes in certain neurotransmitters in your brain, the happy chemicals that, you know, get very elevated, immediately followed by feelings of remorse and guilt. So it's definitely a kind of yo-yo effect. And research has shown that many compulsive shoppers and spenders also suffer from mood disorders, substance abuse, or eating disorders. So it's very often accompanied by depressive or, you know, feelings of anxiety when you have generalized anxiety or depression. It often coexists with other kind of addictive behaviors. Eating disorders, it's very common for people who have a shopping addiction to also binge eat or something like that. And as with any addiction, the person becomes dependent on the behavior to relieve negative feelings that cause distress and comfort. Now, I have one caller asking a question, so I'd like to take it. And let's see. Hello, caller. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Linda. Hi, Susan. A very interesting topic. Very interesting and very timely. Forgive me, I don't think you mentioned this. Forgive me if you have. It's been a rather long day. But you did say something, I believe, that women tend to buy, when they are going to addictive shopping, more accessory type of items, and men larger items,
yes.
Larger
types of items. Yes. In my experience, that's not validated by research. It's not statistically accurate as far as I know, but in my experience, yes. Well, women nickel and dime it with shopping. I mean, but cumulatively, they could spend thousands and thousands and impoverish themselves and their families.
Right.
Men, in my experience, when they overshop, they tend to buy big expensive toys, tractors,
right.
Motorcycles, snowmobiles, boats. I've known men who come home with a boat when they couldn't afford
right.
it. And maybe
right.
next week they come home, they're preparing for the winter, supposedly. They come home with a snowblower.
Right. My question, Susan, is I imagine that many people have this perception that women tend to have this addiction more than men. And I don't know if you know the answer to this, if you did any research on it or if there has been research done on it. Is this an addiction
no.
that women suffer from men?
I do think, I don't know, and that's a very good question. It's my experience that women, there are a lot of jokes about women and shopping with friends. It's more normalized in our culture for women to shop, because if you think about where we come from as a species, women were always the gatherers. So I think we're wired for gathering. So it may be, I don't know, that would be an interesting to look at, how much shopping addiction may derive from the very nature of the way our brains are, that the species survived with women as, women were more prone to sort of gather and collaborate with other women. Shopping is often a collaborative experience that's very normalized. And but then men as hunters, the acquisition sort of impulse through men to hunt, to catch prey, You know, it's probably rooted in our wiring, but that's a very good question, and that's probably something that would be very interesting to find out.
Great. Thank you, Susan.
Okay.
Thank you
for your question. I hope you're enjoying the show.
Okay, not at all. Great.
Okay,
thank
I'm going to get
you.
Two Bye-bye. Tips for how to help people get through the holidays. So thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye. So, another after effect is that compulsive shopping or spending may also result in interpersonal, occupational, family, and financial problems in one's life. There's impairment in relationships, which may occur as a result of excessive spending, and again, with the efforts to cover up debt or purchases. Compulsive shoppers may experience anxiety or depression, as I mentioned, as a result of spending or shopping, which can interfere with work or school performance, so it can really have a pervasive impact. And I've seen situations where financial problems can occur if money is borrowed or if there's excessive use of credit to make purchases. Often the extent of the financial damage is discovered only after the shopper or spender has accumulated very large debt that necessitates a drastic change in lifestyle to resolve. I've seen this in my work with couples where once, you know, it doesn't really get addressed until, you know, the family goes bankrupt. So there can be really dire consequences. So now, if in hearing this you think you may have a shopping, spending problem, how can you cope during the holidays? Here are my 7 tips. 1. Be aware of society's pressure to buy, 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 bombarding you in the mail, on TV, and online, and try to avoid the places or sites that tempt you. So try to be mindful of that. 2, make a holiday gift and preparation plan for what you need and stick to it. In other words, be intentional and proactive. So look at it from the front end. Don't just go out shopping in a kind of impulsive, organic way and just kind of, I call that trolling, when you're not really being intentional, that you just see what you find, what strikes your fancy. Make a list, stick to your list, be intentional and proactive. 3, at all costs, avoid shopping when you are dysregulated, in other words, upset, hungry, or tired. When you are off in some way, you are too vulnerable at those times. I tell couples the same thing about not having major conversations when you're dysregulated. Hungry, tired, angry, disappointed, just very upset about something, you are much more vulnerable to reach for your addictive tool at those times, because shopping for you is a way to medicate feelings. 4, put away credit and debit cards and extra checkbooks, which might make compulsive shopping more possible. It's your permission giver. So don't go out with anything more than you would need for the items that you intend to spend money on. 5, shop with a friend who can provide support for more mindfulness and restraint. So develop a buddy system. Try to go shopping with somebody who doesn't give you permission to just spend, 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 but somebody who might be more frugal and who will model restraint for you, but not in a kind of joyless way. Somebody who maybe you respect, somebody you admire, somebody you enjoy, but who will not just say, oh, go for it, and be an enabler. You do not want to shop with enablers. 6, fill your holidays with meaningful and enjoyable experiences which aren't associated with spending. So in other words, try not to define the holidays as the ads on TV and online and everywhere around you would, by what you spend and by stuff. I think if you envision, you create a vision for your holidays that has as much, if not more, to do with what are the kinds of experiences that I can have with my friends, my family, that will create a feeling of fullness, a feeling of meaning and joy that will stay in my heart forever, because experiences stay with you. stuff, as I've said to you, only creates excessive stuff. Excessive spending creates an immediate good feeling, but it's at a great cost. There's a boomerang effect of, shame and guilt, confusion. So, but generally people don't have that around experiences. Now, when I say experiences, I'm not talking about setting up elaborate trips to places that you can't afford, because then you're doing more spending. So be thinking about experiences that don't necessarily cost money. It might be lighting more fires in the fireplace during the winter, or going snowshoeing, or doing a stroll around your town to see the lights lit up. Our family had a ritual of driving around with cups of hot cocoa in our pajamas. It was very rigid ritual. We had to be in our pajamas with the cocoa, going to see the Christmas lights. And it cost us nothing, and it's always stayed in my heart and my mind. And, those are the kind of things that don't haunt you afterward. They stay with you in a very lovely way. So that's a very, very important one. Create a vision for your holidays that isn't around spending, and you are doing something really important to begin creating a different pattern. Now, what do you do after the holidays? Okay, so number 7 on my tips is, after you've hopefully done better around the holidays, please contact a certified addictions counselor who can effectively perform an assessment to determine what level of care is most appropriate. And remember, there's hope for people with addictive problems. So there are, if you go online, if you talk to other people, you will find people who specialize in addictions. And generally, people who specialize in addictions don't just specialize. There are some people who just specialize in drug addictions, but you will get to the right person who specializes in, who works with and is familiar with shopping addiction, compulsive buying. And do not go to a generic therapist. Go to somebody who understands how to do a proper assessment with you and let you know where you fit in the scheme of things, and who can develop a treatment plan with you, because you're going to need help. You're going to need help to stay conscious, not to go into the trance, to understand your triggers. You're limited by what you know about yourself and what you by your own level of denial, what you allow yourself to know about yourself. So as with any therapeutic situation, lean into a mediated kind of experience. You will do better. So here we are. It's 8:58. We're going to have to wrap up. Hopefully you've learned some things tonight, and you're primed for better holidays and beyond. So you're not a slave to compulsive spending. Now, if you'd like a consultation with me about this issue, I'd be happy to meet with you, give you feedback. I'm not an addictions specialist, but I could refer you to the appropriate professional. So call my voicemail, 603-431-7131, anytime for an appointment. It's 24/7 voicemail. And I'd be happy to schedule a session with you and get you to the proper help. That could be a very important first step. Now, tune into my next episode on Wednesday, December 16th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I will be deciding on the topic. That's to be announced. And December 16th at 8:30, and I will let you know what the topic is. I will announce it on Facebook, Twitter. I always put it in a number of places. Okay? So good night, everyone, and have wonderful, hopefully non-compulsive holidays. Take care. Bye-bye.